Welcome to the What's Percolating teleconference, discussing the latest in heartfelt mind, body, and spirit for peace, passion, and prosperity. Now here are your hosts, Gary Kobat and Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
And it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. This is Gary Kobat.
And it's very, very snowy here, but very sunny here in Maine. I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, and we were talking about blueberries before we went on live, and those are frozen.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. So, Elizabeth, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really honored to do this teleconference with you. It's been so much fun for the past couple days doing this with you. It's a true joy. My family's all excited. My husband's all excited. Everybody in our household, there's such a cool energy going on in our house. It's hard to describe it.
It's awesome. It's a mind-body marathon. I mean, we're doing 21-hour sessions. We're in the 12th one right now, 2 days behind us, a day and a half to go, and we're so excited now. I go way back, way, way, way back with David James Elliott. Again, no need to do much of an introduction to him. He's, Harmrab, Commander Harmrab from the TV show JAG, J-A-G, and we call it just Accept Grace. And it was over a 10-year running TV show. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about that and how he got started and what does it take to do something that long on TV when many things don't last more than a couple of years. And so, we go way back. I mean, I've got a story. It's like we were in, Lance Armstrong called me and he wanted some help doing his Live Strong Cancer Foundation celebration dinner. And they needed a speaker, so I called David, and David jumped in the last minute. And before you know it, Lance is like, but you got to bring your bikes. We got to go for a ride. Before you know it, I mean, to tell you the kind of person David is, we get on our bikes. There's this, like, 30-mile component, 75-mile component, and 100-mile component. And the next thing you know, we're with all of his friends, Tyler Hamilton, Lance Armstrong, George Incappi, all of these guys from the team, the Tour de France team, and we're in the middle of this pack. And the next thing you know, we're, 10 or 15, 20 miles in, and Lance pulls over. A van comes and picks him up. He throws his bike in, and he's gone. So then there's one athlete of another start dropping out, and then there's David and I with Tyler Hamilton that's sitting around 75 miles, and David looks at me and he goes, we're going 100, aren't we? I'm like we're not even going to think about it. So the next thing you know, all the other pros dropped out, and there was David and I finishing the 100-mile bike race. So just to let you know, David's not only an amazing actor, he's an amazing athlete, an amazing human being, amazing dad. So we're going to get into that. So without any further ado, David, come join us. Welcome to the What's Percolating conference.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Do you remember that day?
I remember it always, Gary. That and many other Gary Kobat stories. There's some phrases that you use. I remember the first time I heard it. I wound up riding. I first met Gary through spinning. Gary was teaching a spinning class at a studio in Brentwood, and I started spinning. I was looking for ways to mix up to get healthier and faster, and just to change up my training a little because I was running a lot. And I really was just I didn't have the knowledge that I wish I had, that I have now, that I wish I had then, so I was beating my body up pretty bad. And when I met Gary, it was evident immediately that he was a guy who knew what he was talking about. And I heard that he had people that rode. I asked Gary if he'd teach me how to ride on the road. It sounded exciting. And one thing led to another, and then I started, training with him regularly and anyway, this one time I'm riding on the first long ride. I think we rode out to Palos Verdes and back. It's the longest ride I'd ever done. And I got in front and I hear Gary from behind, you can't lead if you don't know where you're going. And I love that, man. I use it all the time.
It's true.
You don't know where you're going.
Great. And any something in any topic. I mean, parenting, your relationship, you just can't lead unless you know where you're going, right? So anyway, and David and I mean, we've run the L.A. Marathon. We've run the Boston Marathon. I mean, it goes on. And, David, I just want to thank you before we get really into it here. But, you know, David and I were involved. We got invited to be involved in the bringing the 2016 Olympic marathon trials to Los Angeles. And I'm sure you heard just the other day, David, we were granted them by the United States Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
So it's so awesome. So
congratulations.
So we were entertaining the Olympic Committee, and we took them to Dodger Stadium, and we got a suite, and you know, introduced them to JP. That JP did the show last night, David, and it was great. And it was really good. So anyway, we got the next couple of years because, you know, it's not just about 2016, but we want the Olympics in L.A. in 2024. So that's what we're really shooting for, you know, to get them back again. So anyway, just a little sidebar. Elizabeth, I dropped on you.
I have a real life question for you. You do all these amazing things. You know, there are so many of us on the phone right now that are like, you did what, and then you did what, and then what? And it's like a charmed, blessed life. I mean, it's amazing all the things you guys are talking about. Is that every day is like that? You know, what's your day? And I know it's not, but what's every day like for you? What do you do? What's your life like? What are your kids like?
You wind up, now I feel like a chauffeur. Every day starts off early. I get up early and I drive my son to school, and that usually kickstarts my day. And these days, because, you know, I trained really hard. I worked, you know, as Gary said, you know, JAG was the longest running show I've had, but I've in fact had like 7 television series and done numerous movies, and, you know, and I worked consistently for so long that it's been nice to have some time to tune into my family, you know. I have a daughter who's 20 and a son who's 10. And when my little girl was growing up, I was always gone at work. You know, she used to think that I lived in a trailer, that I, in fact, didn't live at the house with them. She'd be asleep by the time I got home, and I was up and gone before she got up. So these days, I focus on him and my training, because my knees, through constant hammering from running, I'm a large guy. You know, I'm weighing in about 220, 6'4". Long distance running was probably not the sport that God had intended for this guy, but I didn't figure that out until it was too late. So now, you know, my training consists of I paddleboard, I ride a bike, and I train in Brazilian jiu-jitsu with Hoisin Rodrigo Gracie, the family that invented the sport. So that's what I do, and I train that 3-4 times a week. It's just the jiu-jitsu, and the rest of the time I'm either paddling or riding or occasionally looking for work.
And how's Nancy? How's your wife?
She's great. Yeah, Nancy's great. She started this. She has a new business venture. She and her partner came up with a drink that is quite phenomenal. It's called Indie Blue. It's a wild blueberry and coconut water beverage that is quite remarkable and a great training tool. We get all our blueberries from Maine. Our wild blueberries. Wild blueberries, you know, are the highest antioxidant fruit from on this continent. And because they're wild, the nutrient level is insane. And they're also what is called an adaptogenic berry. So what that means is that it, because it survived and has been growing for 10,000 years and adapting to a very harsh environment. It's the one plant that actually comes back. If the fields would burn, and the Indians notice this, but the wild blueberry plants would come back. No other plant would come back after a forest fire, but the wild blueberries would come back like bigger and stronger than before. And, you know, they're great for training. They're great for improving your motor memory, concentration, your focus. They shorten recovery time from workout. They burn fat longer after exercise. They reduce inflammation, stabilize blood sugar. They have anti-aging benefits. They support your immune system. They strengthen cardiovascular health. They prevent chronic illness. I mean, it goes on and on. It's just phenomenal. It's a great, and I saw you use that now, because, you know, when Gary and I were training, there was a lot of goo, there was a lot of Gatorade, which is loaded with sugar, and I would find in a workout that I would reach a point that my blood sugar would drop. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd go out, and about mile 10, my blood sugar would plummet. And I remember one time barely making it into a Starbucks to grab some kind of a sugary something. I mean, I almost had to crawl in there. And I don't have that problem now with a beverage like this. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
so
we've come a long way.
We've come a long way, and you know, I'm a great advocate of this drink. And Nancy came up with it. So.
Oh, and I bet Maine loves you.
Nancy was on the show, wasn't she?
Nancy was on Jag. Yeah, she played Lieutenant Singer. She was
How
on
long?
For six seasons, I believe.
What's that like, working with your wife?
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword because it's great, but occasionally she would, you know, ask an opinion, and if... You know, it was always tricky. You know, it's tricky. You're close with somebody. It's if I said the wrong thing, you know. So I quickly tried to, you know, I would dodge those comments if I could. You know, I was always supportive, but if it wasn't, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, when you're that close with somebody, you know, there's a set of rules that you have to exist under, and you know, we had a great time working together, and she, you know, interestingly, she always played this a foil for Harm, and you know, so we could live out a contrasting existence on screen while still being, you know, loving and close in real life, so we didn't have to imbue our personal life with any of that, because we got to dump it in the fiction department, if you will.
take us back a little bit. I mean, like, was there a point you knew, like, acting was it for you, or did you want to be, like, a pro athlete, or, you know, whatever?
I was always athletic. I had big dreams as a kid, as I'm sure many, many children do, but I lived in Canada, you know, and sports are not, they don't have the same focus that we have. I may have changed, and it may be continuing to change, but it's unlike the U.S., sports was not a really big focus for Canadians, you know. In fact, I still think most universities there don't really offer sports scholarships. So, I had no idea what I wanted to be, and I was, in Ontario at the time, you went to grade 13 to go to university, so it was an extra year of high school. And I took grade 13 history of theater, and we read King Lear out loud as a class, and the teacher told me, you should be an actor. And it was just, I went, wow, I never thought of something like that. So I auditioned for theater school on a whim and got in. I'd never even seen a play. I mean, I had no, they told me they felt I was a diamond in the rough. But I had no bad habits. I'd never done any theater. I'd never seen any. I had no idea what I was doing. But I got in, and out of, you know, I think 1,200 people auditioned to get in. They picked 30. And over the course of 4 years, they whittled it down to 7 people. They could, every semester they would cut people, and I managed to make it all the way through.
Wow.
And so here I am today, you know, and was it must have been written.
Do you remember that high school teacher?
Yeah, Mrs. Carney was her name. I remember.
She's probably listening. She's probably one. David, there are so many people in our call queue and chat room right now. I don't even know where to start. Do you know and do you get a sense of still how just truly loved you are by your fans? Can you talk to the fans listening right now? I mean, there are hundreds of people. We could be here all day long answering a question from each of these fans. Really, there's a lot of people listening. Yeah, talk to everybody for a minute here, because thank you all for joining us.
Well, it's great. You know, the fans are great, and certainly the show JAG really managed to last through the beginning difficult seasons because of an extraordinary fan base. We were on NBC initially, and they moved the show around a lot. They never told anyone where they were moving, but the fans always found it. And then eventually NBC decided after the first season they were going to drop the show. And it's something that rarely happens. CBS, Leslie Moonves had recently taken over the network, and he was looking for a show that he could depend on, that he wouldn't have to, that he could focus on the building of the network and the changing of the brand or evolving of the brand of CBS. But he needed some shows that he knew he could count on. And he said he picked up JAG as a mid-season, he said, because it always did well, whatever time slot they put it in. And so he knew it had a really strong fan base, and he picked it up, and the show went for 9 years on CBS. In fact, any show that NBC put against it, we beat them. We were the only show that did business against American Idol in the beginning. It was crazy. So the fans have always, you know, and I guess that my fan base probably is largely from that and has grown. They follow me when I do other projects. You know, so I love the fans. Thank God for them. You know?
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe someone will stick around for your shows for the rest of the 20.
There you go. He knows the business. Okay. I love it.
Stick around.
Do you do any producing or directing or writing or?
I directed some of the JAGs. I wrote some. I'm writing stuff now. I'm developing film and some television projects with a partner. You know, I like to do that. I like to stay creative and busy when I'm not working for somebody else. You know, ideally I would like to get something steady of my own up and running, because I really took to directing and producing, and I just love to be a part of the whole picture as opposed to strictly a gun for hire, you know. And these days I'm just looking for things that really attract me creatively. Thankfully, you know, I've had a good career up to this point. I don't have to jump at everything that comes across my desk, you know. And so that's where my focus is these days. It's quality of life and, you know, staying healthy. I mean, my diet has evolved. I'm now largely vegan, you know. I got up meat just because, you know, the road gets narrower, right?
Yeah.
And it's
talk about
mental
that.
And physical health for me.
So what is it like? I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, like you had said in the preamble, you know, doing a show for 10 years was incredibly challenging, not only physically but mentally. You know, to play a character that long and stay interested, to continue to peel that onion. You know, I got involved in, you know, I would take every script and I would annotate it and I would call the writers. I stayed active, you know, in tweaking things. I didn't just do stuff because it was there. I questioned, you know, if I was concerned about, you know, motivation or reality or, you know, whatever it was. I stayed in constant contact because I have to stay involved to continue to be interested to, you know, so that my work wouldn't suffer and that I could withstand that long. That and the insane hours we worked, especially in the beginning, we were working, you know, 16 to 18-hour days every day, and sometimes longer, often longer. We would start to work at, you know, Monday at 6 a.m. call time, but because of turnover laws, turnover being the time from when you finish shooting to the time you have to be on set the next day, You know, they can't just give you 3 hours to go home and come back. They have to give you, you know, with SAG had a 12-hour turnaround rule, set to set 12 hours. And if they pushed you, they would have to pay for that. And then they would occasionally. But, you know, by the end of the week, you might have a 2 o'clock start time, which meant that you were probably going to be shooting until 6, 7 o'clock Saturday morning. So it was just brutal on you physically. It was hard to work out. But I was training with Gary a lot in those days when I could. And I would, you know, at the end of a 16-hour day, I'd lace up my shoes and go for an 8-mile run. Go home, I'd try to get up early, get in the pool, swim, and I would focus on, what I found was really beneficial for me was to set goals. I would enter events, and so I would have a goal to work towards that would motivate me to, you know, get up a little early to get the run or the swim or the ride on the weekends, and I started doing, you know, Gary got me involved in the Malibu Triathlon, and I realized, you know, the first time I dove in the water, I thought I could swim. I discovered that I, in fact, really could not swim. I basically
Thinker's swim right there, huh?
I totally remember that.
Oh, my God. Almost died out there. Oh,
scared the hell out of it. Yeah.
Oh. So then I, yes?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was as you're talking, I can't help but think about yesterday's show. I don't know why, Gary, help me out here with Julie Vick. I am thinking Julie Vick the whole time here because you said something, and it's kind of a common theme in our shows, and that's about setting goals for yourself to motivate you. And it just instantly, so I'm just saying it out loud, Julie Vick came to mind. Can you tell him about
David,
Julie?
So you,
that was so cool.
Yeah, just so you know, David, she came to one of my seminars in Toronto, by the way, right outside your hometown. And she came and she wanted to change her life. So I just said, okay, are you worthy? Are you willing? Are you ready? And are you able? And she said, yes, 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 yes. And you know how it works. She started calling, so every Saturday she'd take a call, and she's lost 70 pounds. And then we said, all right, how about, so she was thinking about doing the Toronto half marathon, and I didn't hear half, and I don't think she said it, because she's hard to speak at that point. She wasn't, she had a lot of anxiety, so it was hard for her to speak full sentences. And I just heard marathon, and you know me, it's like, okay, sure, we can do that. And I laid out this training plan of walking. So she walked every day, and she set a goal, and what David's referring to is when someone like David has such a big schedule and it's consuming, it can be even more consuming, as you heard in his voice. And so you got to draw some boundaries. And so one of the boundaries I help people with is we call it event training. So you might be the event. So in Julie's case, she loses 70 pounds. In David's case, it was actual sport. So let's learn some disciplines and learn some sports so it'll take you away from doing, you know, 18, 20, 22-hour days. And he helps draw the boundary. So anyway, David, she's talking about Julie setting goals. You were setting goals. It's really just simply event training. So in Julie's case, the first event was Julie. For David, it was David. Then David understood he loves to be active because it helps his mind come off the set. And so we got him moving. So anything in moving, and that's what he's doing now, calm moving versus, you know, intense active moving.
I love
moving.
It. But, yeah, that's great. That's a great explanation. And then yesterday it was so wild. She was in the chat room, and we had a guest that didn't show up. And you're saying that when you first met her, she wasn't really speaking. Well, yesterday she did a whole hour show with us, and she's part now of the telethon. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
You know what
wow
I find
right.
that exercise for me and just training even towards an event, there are great life lessons in that. And, you know, you would set a goal for your training if you decided today you were going to run 10 miles. If you go out, you set the goal, you go out and you run the 10 miles, you don't stop regardless of how you feel. You know, you get used to setting goals and achieving them, and that translates to the rest of your life. That's always, for me, sport is a great tool for life, really. And you know, for me,
that.
It's really important to have those goals to motivate you. Because I'm just going to get in shape. You know, what is that? I remember reading some kitschy gym, you know, painted on the wall that said you're either getting in shape or you're getting out of shape, but you're not staying the same. You know, so, you know, and it's hard sometimes to motivate yourself without a goal, without having something to work towards. So it's, I think those, that's what's great today. These days, there's so many events, Tough Mudder, there's a triathlon or a road race or this or that all the time. It's fantastic. So, you know, eventually I did the Ironman, you know, and
really?
The last year, Jay, and I did the Arizona Rock and Roll Half Marathon with Gary, and then I ran the L.A. Marathon, then I ran the Boston Marathon, and then I went away, shot a movie, and then I did the Ironman in Kona. And
like I said, David doesn't mess around, okay?
No, I guess not. I can hear that.
That was the end for me, though. After that, my knees were pretty much done. I can run a little bit now, but I had them both scoped. I had a PRP done on one. I had hyaluronic acid injections. I have bald spots in my cartilage.
Yeah.
But I used to run. I was running 80 to 90 miles a week while I was shooting JAG. I just used it as a great stress release, you know?
Yeah.
I think now, for me, I wish I'd known this before. You know, it's great to cross training is really great at preserving and not beating your body up as badly. And diet is so important and a really tough one to get your head around. But, you know, I wish I'd gone vegan before because it's so much easier. Yeah, my energy levels are so much higher. You don't have to fight your weight as hard when you're consuming animal byproducts and products of, you know, for me. I don't know. It's just I feel so much better and lighter and fitter and, you know.
Good.
And what David's talking about is knowing yourself enough, listening enough to what you put in your body to figure out what works for you. Because everybody is different. Everybody has free will. Everybody has that choice. And he's just always experimenting with what would work for him. And then when he would get tired, like any of us, we just take what's near us, you know? If it's a carb, it's a carb. If it's late at night, it's late at night. And with his schedule, it was challenging, to say the least. So there's a cost, too, of doing something big or large or without the right fuel, as he said. Hey, David, tell us, it couldn't have been smooth all the time. I mean, did you have bumps in the road? Did you have challenges? I mean, was, you know, 4 years at actor school, was that just a piece of cake, or were there challenges? Did you question yourself?
No.
What do you do when you question yourself?
Constantly questioning yourself. You know what I determined when I first got into it? I decided, you know, everybody told me it was an impossible task. I can't tell you how many times I've been told it's never going to happen. The odds are against you. And I said, well, here's the deal. You know, as long as I'm still in the race, I haven't lost. So I will never stop trying. I'll just keep getting up every time they knock me down. And sometimes, you know, and it's not always easy. You know, there were times when you felt defeated. But thankfully, that doesn't last with me. And I got into, you know, you have to really dig for things. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of self-help stuff, spiritual treaties. I read, you know, I dug. I asked questions. I found people I admired, people who'd done it. I asked questions. I read about them to understand how they did it. And I, you know, I used affirmation. I would, like, when I go on a long run, I would take a phrase with me. Whatever it was, a phrase from the 23rd Psalm, or I just repeat the 23rd Psalm. I just get into a trance, a meditation, if you will, with a mantra, some positive piece of mantra, you know, and drill that to undo all the negative programming that is certainly in your face constantly, you know. So I used all those tools, and it's really the bottom line was about, you've only lost if you give up, right? A winner is just a loser and never quit. So, there's always going to be challenges, And, you know, if it was easy, you wouldn't appreciate it.
What was that like, the moment that you signed on to JAG? Do you remember that moment where they said, you're going to be the main actor in this? Congratulations.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Yeah, my wife and I both, we were, like, so thrilled. It was unbelievable. It was beyond words. And then, after, you know, a couple of months of working, I can tell you, lining up after working 23 hours straight for a third meal, and they were going to shoot some more after that meal, I'm like going, oh, my God. How? I mean, I look in the mirror, I just looked like hell. My eyes were swollen. I thought, my, what have I signed on for? And there was no turning back at that point. It was, and I'd spoken to guys like who'd done it, Tom Selleck, because I worked for Don Belisario, and he had created Magnum PI, and Scott Bakula. I talked to them, and I remember Scott saying, you have to become like a Zen master. You really have to find a way to channel that stress and to not get involved in it emotionally, you know? And Tom gave me this, I remember I asked him, what's the secret? Because he'd gone 9 years, right at the beginning, you know, right after the pilot, we had dinner with Don and Tom and Scott. They were all there. And I asked him, and he said, you know, put your best foot forward every day and find something you can hang your hat on. And I thought, I have no idea what that meant at the time. I did. Like, what the heck? What does that mean? You know?
And, I love
and,
it.
And later on, I figured out what it meant. And it was a great piece of advice. And really, it's about, at the end of every day, you're never going to be, as an actor, I can only speak to acting because that's all I've ever really done, you know, or in this business. And you always feel like, you know, you'd be driving home at the end of the day going, gosh, why did I do that? I was there. Oh, man. You're never fully satisfied with anything, you know. And that's when it started to occur to me what Tom meant. You know, just put your best foot forward every day and you'd find something you can hang your hat on. To me, if I believe this is what he meant, you know, if you watch Magnum P.I., he had these magnumisms that he would do. Like he'd be outside a building. He'd know that there were bad guys in there, and he'd try the door, and the door would open where it should have been locked, but it would open, and he'd turn to the camera, and he'd just shake his head like, yep, now I got to go in and get beat up. There was just these little things that he could always depend on, that he didn't always have to be, you know, the method actor. He didn't have to be Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis could not be Daniel Day-Lewis and do a television show, I don't believe. Not, certainly not for 10 years. He'd come apart. You know, you cannot get that completely absorbed and lose yourself as completely as he does for a piece of time on a film with a 10-year run, you know, shooting 10 months of every year playing the same character. So you have to find ways when you're not feeling completely connected to your emotional center to continue to come up with stuff. So I believe that's what he meant. So that at the end of the day, he could go home and not have to beat himself up constantly going, well, I did the best that I could today. Tomorrow's another day. I'm going to do the best that I can tomorrow. I'm going to keep, you know, putting my best foot forward and find a few things that you can hang your hat on. And don't get emotionally involved in the stress. That's the hard part, but it's a terrific opportunity to put yourself into a situation like I had unbelievable opportunity to do, which was to be in a show for that long and to be able to experience, you know, to have that challenge to overcome by not having it completely heat you up and spit you out. Because, you know, how many stories have you seen? I mean, the stress of life. I mean, look at poor Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
What a tragic loss of such an enormously talented man, but he had that horrible monkey on his back of addiction, you know? And I know what that's like. I'm a recovered addict, alcoholic myself, you know? I beat that, but it's an everyday battle. It's not, it's never a complete victory, you know, but it's a constant reminder. You got to continue to remember, you know, that what horrors await you. It's when you forget about that stuff. It's when you start to, you know, you forget where you were, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And
did something have to happen for you to make a shift? Did you have to draw the line in the sand?
Yeah, you reach a point where they say in the program you hit a bottom. and you reach a point where you go, you know what, it's now or never. It's this or die, you know. And it's about making a real shift. You have to become willing to take a hard look at you, to stare in the mirror and actually take a look at you and not hide from yourself anymore. Because that's really what druggery and drinking and taking drugs is. You're hiding from yourself. You're hiding from your feelings. And it's about, you got to feel. You know, there's a saying, certainly a program where they say, feel your feelings and they'll go away. But you can't suppress them. They're not going away. The only way through it is through it. So I don't know how we transition to that, but I mean, it's all part of a healthy life, right?
It is.
It's all part of, and it's not about ever, you can't coast. There's no coasting. Right?
Well,
there's
no
coasting.
It's
about being in the now. If you're in the past or the future, that's where the stress is.
Correct.
You know, it's a great saying that I have to remind myself constantly of, that God never gives you anything you can't handle.
That's correct.
And I believe it, and I cling to it, and that's how I know that you can get through anything, you know. If you remember that, sometimes you have to repeat it, you know. It's so true. And then you look at a guy like Pete Carroll, who, Nancy, is a close friend of Pete and works with Pete Carroll, and Pete is an amazing human being. I mean, look, he just won the Super Bowl. And his team, when asked, I saw an interview with some of the team members, and they said, well, how did you do it? How does such a young team go up against such experience and play like you guys did? And they said, well, really, we boiled it down to Pete's win forever philosophy, you know? Pete said his mother always told him, you know, when things seem bad or bad luck had happened, she said, something great is just about to happen.
Yeah.
That was her always growing up. He said, we grew up with that. What an amazing gift to give your child. You know, something great is just about to happen. And you will, you know, I believe you view the universe will, you know, if you watch The Secret, as I'm sure you have, that stuff, I believe it. Believe it and it'll come true. The universe will manifest itself, you know. So, but you got to work at it.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
What makes you have the ability to be so wonderfully honest and vocal about things that have happened to you? Because there, you may have just touched a life and you might not know it. We've seen that on these shows as well, where somebody suddenly hears you say that, you know, you were an alcoholic before, and they get the courage to change or become vocal about it or whatever. You have no idea what might happen. But where's that come from, that courage and bravery?
And every day is different, right? Some days I wouldn't be so brave, and other days I'm not as positive as I am some days, and you know, every day is a different day. So and once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. So it's not like you're no longer an alcoholic. You're always an alcoholic, you know. It's a daily reprieve that we get. But, you know, if you can help somebody else, that's what it's about. It's about, you only get to keep it if you give it away. Right? And that's one of the great things, you know, you hear people in meetings say, God, I'm so grateful that I'm an alcoholic, because I would never have been able to have the awakening that I've had I not gone through the pain that I had to go through to get here. So,
what do you think about pain? What do you do with pain?
Challenge. You know, I always looked at, I always thought, like, when we train, when we work out and it's really painful, I go, listen, I can have this dull, aching pain all the time, or I can, you know, increase it for a period of time and feel and have this great relief of no pain for long periods of time, which I prefer. It's, I don't know, man, it's, I mean, pain is, you tell me, pain is weakness leaving the body. Pain is healthy pain. There's healthy pain and then there's unhealthy pain, which is not nice, right?
Well, it's a doorway. It's a doorway, as you said. It's a doorway. So it's like, okay, I can go this way or that way, and you choose to go that way, and it relieves you. It frees you. Pain's a wake-up call. Yeah, pain's a motivator, inspirer.
Pain is a motivator, absolutely.
That's
awesome.
It's
just about challenges, man. And pain is a concept, too. You know, sometimes pain is, you know, what do they, Shakespeare said, nothing is ever good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So pain is just part of life. It's not going to go away, so why avoid it? Why not just go through it? Go through it, get to the other side, and
David,
everybody in the chat room, just so you know, David, everybody in the chat room is like, he's so cool. Everybody's talking. It's awesome. They're talking
David,
their language
gonna...
here, so it's really neat.
David, we're going to just take a one-minute break, and Elizabeth's going to catch up on some business. You just take a breath, a sec, and then we'll come right back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, we really love Blog Talk Radio. Just a minute to thank everybody at Blog Talk Radio. Gary and I had this idea of a couple months ago to do this, and we approached Blog Talk Radio with this idea that had never been done before on Blog Talk Radio, and they opened up their hearts and their technology to us to allow us to schedule 5 shows a day. They're featuring our shows. We're just really proud our show's featured today and tomorrow and maybe more beyond that in the the Today's Best episodes. And then so it's blogtalkradio.com, and all of our shows, a really cool blessing of working with them is everything's on free replay. So you can listen and share these shows over and over and over again. They'll live on. And then the other people that we need to thank, and I got the most wonderful handwritten note from iCoffee, from the head of iCoffee. Handwritten note thanking us for allowing them to participate in our conference. And I'm thinking, okay, wait, we got to thank them. Everybody who registers for our conference will be entered automatically to win an iCoffee, and you can go to iCoffee.com to learn more about this cool new coffee technology. It's yesterday we called it the, on Mitch Gaylord's show, we called it the Olympic gold medal of coffee makers. It makes the hottest coffee. It's a steam brew technology, and it's very strong coffee, and it's a really cool coffee maker. So check it out at iCoffee.com. And then one more thing as I ramble on and on. We have Drinkree has sponsored us as well, so drinkree.com. And kind of along the lines of fruit drinks and so forth without the caffeine, right, Gary?
Exactly. Absolutely.
And we're going to and somebody in the chat room while we're talking of drinks posted your wife's website, I think, indieblue.com. Is that correct, David?
Yes, it is. Check it out. You can get it on Amazon if it's not available at your local grocer yet. It's coming to Whole Foods and Sprouts, and it's presently at PC Greens in Malibu and selling like crazy. And
very
one
Maine
of the
blueberry,
top new brands. Maine wild blueberries and Thai coconut water. Phenomenal beverage. It will improve your world.
Yeah, I have a friend here in Maine who owns a blueberry farm, Peaked Mountain Farm. My first children's book was called Blueberry, and she wrote the foreword, and blueberry farms are gorgeous. Really neat. Gail Van Art is her name. But indieblue.com is indieblue.com, and thank you, Deborah Oakland, for posting that. And speaking of Deborah Oakland, who we hope you are feeling well, and if you aren't yet, I think you need to go get that drink. We hope you do. And then also, just connect the dots a little here, Deborah has a question for you, David. She wants to know, what was David's favorite project he worked on in film?
Gosh, that's a tough one. You know, they were all
Deborah
asked him.
I love it.
Yeah, you stumped me. That's always a hard question. It's like, what's your favorite movie? I don't know. I have so many.
What comes to your head? Like, what did you really enjoy?
Well, enjoy is a big word. It's like, as they were some of them, you know, I did a thing called The Man Who Lost Himself that was, I wouldn't say it was enjoyable, but there were some really, you know, I felt that my work was really good in it, and it was painful, and it was through a painful time in my life. You know, I lost my brother, and I was doing this movie. That all happened the same year that I did the marathon and ran the Ironman. My brother died, and I started a movie the next day.
Wow.
And so that movie, I guess, would be my favorite for strength, probably not the kind of reasons that you would go, wow, it was my favorite, I had the best time. It was just a really, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It was cathartic, and it was...
Yeah, it means
it had enormous meaning for me. So I'll say the man who lost himself.
What's changed in acting in the last 10 or 20 years? Or is it like a quiet industry that's under the radar that's still kind of handwritten notes? I mean, what's going on?
No, it's changed. Oh, my God, and it seems to change every day. You know, it's just changed in the last 4 years enormously. You know, people get their entertainment differently now. And the internet, there's more channels, so there's more programming. The networks are shifting away from, scripted programming more, and I'm no great entertainment visionary, but I believe what's going to happen is they're going to be mostly reality and sports shows on the networks, and then you'll get your scripted drama from cable or on the internet. And now they're talking about, because our focus time, our available attention, or our world attention deficit disorder is being fed with new programming. This, with YouTube, the YouTube world, and like people having only the ability to focus long enough for like 9 minutes. I think 9 minutes, 9 or 7 minutes may be the new segment time for scripted entertainment that coming through the internet, you know. It's just changed enormously. It's just not ever, who could have seen this, you know? And now somebody told me what's going to happen in the future, and I believe it's already happened. He said, we're all going to have our personal lockers in cyberspace, and that's where we'll store the entertainment that we have. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't really watch television shows on TV. I'll buy the series and stream it on Apple TV or on, Amazon or Netflix, and so you can sit and watch commercial free. So the way that their revenues are coming in has changed to a subscription base and less advertising. You know, it's really changed enormously. So there's a lot of opportunities because of that, you know, and harder to make the kind of profits they probably are used to making. So
yeah.
There's a whole new generation out there. I'm a mom of four boys. They're 12, 14, 16, and 18. And I had this blog I wrote of, I don't know how many years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, and I said, the world has changed, folks. One of my kids just walked out of the bathroom with a computer.
Well, yeah.
And what was so important in that room? Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Exactly.
Hey, David, how old are you now? How old are you now?
I'm 53.
I love it. So what's it like in the 50, you know, after 50? I mean, give us a little insight. I mean, versus the 40s or the 30s. Any perspective on that?
50s the new 30s.
Yes.
You know, I got to tell you, I feel better, healthier, stronger than I did in my 30s.
Yeah.
My recovery time may not be as used to be, but it's still pretty good, you know. I mean, it's just about, like we said earlier, it's about diet and exercise, certainly for your physical well-being. And we're aging better, and it's about taking better care of yourself. It's about, you eat organically or wild, even better to eat wild foods, drink a lot of Indy Blue, and, keep your mental position good, you know. It's about your mind controls everything, right?
Exactly.
If you believe it, it'll be true. And nothing better to improve your serotonin level than exercise, really. Exercise and a good diet, but exercise, vital. train with Gary Kobach.
Our chat room, my understanding is people are having trouble getting into the chat room because it's so packed, and the phone lines are jammed as well. So I really apologize.
Wow.
If you're listening, I told you. If the show's on free replay, it's besteveryou.com/teleconference. The link is up there, but the chat room people are really wanting to talk with you, so I'm going to talk with you for them. Deb Scott says, please tell David, my mom, who has passed away 9 years ago yesterday, loved him in JAG and was a faithful fan of his. She must be an angel on his shoulder now.
Well, that's sweet. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Deborah Oakland wants to ask you, if David could go back and change one major thing in his life, what would it be?
Well, like Frank Sinatra, I don't know. Maybe I have no regrets. That's a hard one. I mean, I wish that if I could change one major thing, I wish I could have helped my brother more. I wish I could have helped him. He'd have been here today. I miss him. It's his birthday today. Would have been 55.
Oh.
So I guess if I could change one thing, I'd still have him around. I miss him terribly.
What's his name?
His name was Michael.
Michael's here with us, by the way. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
He's listening in, by the way. His body's not here, but his spirit is here. He hears you.
An amazing incident happened. I wrote a film that was kind of based on he and I, an idea he and I had talked about for years. And after he passed on, I wrote this movie. And the day I finished the first draft, the next morning, I was taking a shower. Suddenly the water cut off, and I thought, oh, my God, man, did the pipe burst? What's wrong now? And I thought, well, let me just check, test the knob that I turned it on with, and it was shut off. And it wasn't like you really had to turn it. It was, it had some tension to that. So it shut off, and then I went, oh, my God, that had to be Michael. And so I went downstairs with my son. I was getting him ready for school. It was early in the morning, and I told him, I think Uncle Michael was here. And as I was telling him the story, the phone, which was maybe 3-4 feet from both of us, flew off the countertop and smashed on the ground. And I went, wow, man, Michael was there. So I believed, absolutely. I believe he's here with us now. He's, all kinds of funny stuff like that happens in my home. There's certain things that happen. The TV comes on full blast at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's weird, odd little things. So I'm a believer.
Yeah,
I'm a believer.
Awesome.
I'm glad. It's nice to know.
He's great.
Cindy Glover, I hope I said your name right. Cindy, she's in the chat room. She would like you to know that we truly enjoyed Rufus. Such a different role, yet very moving.
Oh, well, thank you.
Can you explain for somebody who might be listening who doesn't know that role?
It's an interesting film. Rufus is about, I guess it's like a vampire movie, but it's not in the traditional vein of. This kid shows up out of nowhere in this little town, this little frozen little place. I play the sheriff of the town and my wife, and we lost our child, and, we're just shells of who we once were. We exist in the same house, but we're like two strangers. I don't know, this kid shows up out of the blue, and I, as a police officer, I show up and I wind up taking him into my home because he doesn't really talk much and we can't quite figure out where he's from. He's a young kid. He's like 15. And then strange things start happening. Bad people. Somebody gets killed. You'd have to watch the film. But he's like, he's a vampire, but he's almost an angel. It's an odd little film. It's hard to really put it in a box, but it was interesting and fun. We shot it in Saskatoon, Canada.
Have you traveled all over the world? Have you been everywhere, or
your
favorite place?
No, I haven't been everywhere, but I've been, you know, I've been to some interesting places. I've been, you know, to Africa, Italy, and Australia, you know, Europe. You know, I haven't been to the Far East yet. I'd like to go there. I haven't been to Antarctica.
It's warmer there than it is here,
been,
I think.
I've been to Churchill, Manitoba. It's colder there than it is where you are. That's the polar bear capital of the world. I went up there with my friend, my wife, and my son, and I went up with a friend. Nigel Marvin was shooting a wildlife documentary on polar bears, and so we got our own tundra vehicle, and we got the really cold polar bears.
Was that fun, or not so fun?
Oh, no, it was unbelievable. No, it was amazing, but it's so cold. It's like shocking, you know, 40, 50 below zero. It's just crazy cold. So,
another question in the chat room. I love these questions, by the way. Thank you all so much for participating. It's making the show very, you know, very interactive and fun. I hope it's fun for you guys too. Everybody says happy birthday to Michael. And what's the biggest challenge that you faced, and what did you learn from it? It's another question.
You know, I've faced some big challenges, and hopefully I learned from them. You know, sometimes those lessons don't become evident until later. It's been a lot of challenges, and I think what I've learned is that, you know, you take it one day at a time and don't get ahead of yourself and just try to be in the moment and, you know, like Tom told me, put your best foot forward and find something you can hang your hat on, so... I'm going to say that. That was a big lesson for me. Just put your best foot forward every day. Do the best that you can do and forgive yourself. You know, because you're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. It's never always going to be right. And all I really am happiest if I feel like I did the best that I could do and that I didn't come up short for me, you know, that I didn't let myself down. That's my biggest fear, that I'll let my family down, certainly, or that I'll... I let myself down if I let down other people. So I don't know if that answers the question, but
it does. And not only that, you've answered so many questions. You've showed a side to yourself that we really appreciate, and I can't thank you enough. I mean, you've been there. We've been around each other for years and years and years, and you've always, you know, whenever I've presented something, you've always, you know, been there for other people, and I really, really appreciate that.
Thanks, Gary. It's been a pleasure and an enlightening experience knowing you, my brother. So you certainly added a lot to my life, man. You taught me a lot.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that. By the way,
let me tell you this before you go. That time having dinner in Jim Carrey's suite before the event with him and Will Ferrell
we did it for
the
challenge.
Three of those guys, Robin Williams, Will Ferrell, and Jim Carrey together, just to sit and watch those three guys exist in the same space was unbelievable. I'll remember it till I die. Just to watch that dynamic, it was so interesting.
So just to give you a little backstory,
invited. Now we got to keep going.
Oh no! And this is so great that David's touched. So many of these experiences, these guys, you know, like David, we work independently, right? And I work with Jim Carrey independently or Will Ferrell independently, but to get them all in the same, like, God forbid, picture. Or the same room together. So David's going, oh my God, I'm standing here with Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell himself. I mean, there was Robin Williams and other people as well. It was like, I don't believe I'm standing here. I don't believe they're all in the same. And they were just unique.
They were
on
fire. So funny, but their style of comedy was like, you know, it was interesting. They found some way for their comic ability to not, you know, drown out the other guys, and it was just really, it was an interesting dynamic to watch those three powerhouse comedians exist in that little space together, because you wouldn't often see those three guys certainly in a scene together, or you know, it's a, one would be dominant. But this was a, it was just so interesting to
watch. That's great.
You had to be there, but you know.
And we and also they were also everybody was a little nervous because the next morning they were all doing a half Ironman.
Yeah.
So they were all out of their element. So they were in their element when they were all together. So what a great touch.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask why were you all together in the room in the first place?
They were all going. So Jim starts ordering food. Okay. So one cart after the next. I mean, it was just
carb-starved. Jerry had him on a carb on a. We did that carb-starved thing for 3 days, right? You wanted to like empty your body of carbs, so he was carb-loading, and it was like hilarious. He was all about carbs because I think he hadn't had a carb in a week. Oh man! Oh my God!
Yeah, he was training for a movie. We had to lean him out, and then for this event, right? So I said, he looks at me and he goes, come on, can't we eat something? And I'm like, go for the carbs. This is the night you can do it.
Yeah.
Everything under the sun.
What did he order?
Everything under the menu. Oh,
I mean, there was brownies and ice cream.
Dinner, everything there. And
pasta.
All there,
and
like
you name
insane.
It was hilarious.
Did he eat it? What did he eat?
Oh, he had
a
little bit
of
everything,
It was the monster buffet of buffets. Yeah, it was great.
Oh,
anyway, great story. And one other thing, David, I just got an email this morning on a project with the Boston Marathon. They need some direction a little bit on the executive producer level. So I'll send you the email and see if you're interested. But
beautiful. Okay, great.
Yeah, they're doing a little movie about the Boston Marathon. Great. All right, super. David, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. Elizabeth, Gary, thank you so much. Thank you. Really a
true joy.
Good. All right. Good luck with the other eight that you're doing.
You got it. Have a beautiful day.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, he's so neat.
Wow.
What a
real human.
Love.
Yeah.
Authentic. What a treat for us all, too. Thank you so much for arranging to have all your cool friends on the teleconference. It's so much fun. And the backstories that we get to hear. You know, this is a treat. There's so many people listening right now who just got this really cool experience that none of us would have had without you. Thank you.
Well, I got goosebumps because I didn't know he was touched by who was hanging out in the room eating, scarfing down carbs. I mean, but the way he explained it, it was like, okay, I don't think I'll ever see this snapshot again for the rest of my life. This is unique. And they were in rare form, too, which I hadn't seen them all together myself. So it was like, wow. But to have him say, no, that was a moment in my life I'll never forget. I was like, wow. That's so cool. And
he's
Yeah, great. And Nancy's great. His wife's unbelievable. The kids are amazing. And anyway, thank you for allowing us to do this.
Yeah, he seems just like so loyal. That's a word that I kept thinking of the whole time he was talking. Mm. Just loyal. Just such a love.
Well, you know, when you really look at it, there's a small core group of people that are unflappable. And you can tell he's unflappable. He's just steady. You know,
steady, loyal,
when you connect on a truthful level, the truth, you know, and when you're in the trenches a little bit together, when, you know, we talked about Mitch, when Mitch was having a moment, you know, and you're there for somebody, it's like, that's the truth.
Yeah, everybody has, I'm really proud of everybody also, no matter what level they are, or who they are, or who they think they are, whatever. Everybody's exposing their heart to all of our guests. All, you know, they're truthful. They're bluntly honest in some cases. They're giving us little gems that maybe they haven't said before out loud, or really neat.
Well, they're humans, and they know it. They're a human being, and they're grateful for where they're at. And they're not their label, you know, and that's really a huge point. You know, we're not what we do. We are who we are.
Important to remember. The chat room is still full. Hello, everybody. And they're complimenting us, and I love you guys, too. Thank you so
you
much.
You guys rock in the chat room. You guys rock.
And all the callers and everything. It's just made this so much fun, and it's picking up steam, and it's being featured on Blog Talk Radio. And so please share the shows. What show are we on now? We're on 12. With, he said eight more to go. I'll go with what he said. I've lost count, kind of.
And we have, and we have the infamous Deb Scott next. So, I mean, that's going to be awesome.
Let's talk Deb Scott for just a minute before we go, because we wouldn't be here without Deb Scott right now, because she introduced us.
Touché. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we will thank her on air as we start the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. All right. So everything's available on free replay. Thank you again to Blog Talk Radio, to iCoffee.com. Deborah Oakland, I saw your note that you really want to win the iCoffee. We got a draw. Sorry. I don't know if I can make that happen, honey. Fair and square. But iCoffee.com, and then Drink Re, and then I wanted to go one more time to his wife's drink. I'm trying
Indie
to find
Blue.
It.
Indie
the,
Blue.
Indie Blue. Indie Blue. Indie Blue. Yeah, that's awesome.
And,
that
and one, and you know, I just want to mention one last thing, because it's just, I know it's going to be special, and that is Dave McGillivray from the race director of the Boston Marathon is in a few hours from now, and that is just special. I mean, he's just such a special man for being able to hold everything together in all the years that he's directed the race, but then especially in the last 12 months.
Yeah, awesome. And so besteveryou.com/teleconference. Everything's on free replay. We'll be back again at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific. And the call-in is 714-868-0220, and there's a live chat room and a free replay. So thanks, everybody, for joining us, and take care. We'll see you in a little
bit. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the What's Percolating teleconference on Blog Talk Radio. Please visit us at besteveryou.com for more ways to percolate and create your best life.